This morning's scripture reading is Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. It's on page 1830 in the Pew Bible if you want to follow along. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, kids are invited to children's church. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for you, for your mercy, for your work in our lives, and for the joy that we experience in your Son, Jesus. Today, Lord, help us to experience, embrace, and explore a deeper understanding, a deeper relationship with joy. And may you fill our hearts with your mercy. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, joy is always a slippery concept to talk about. We know it when we see it. We know it when we experience it. We long for it. We feel its absence sometimes more than its presence. But I want to talk a little bit today about practicing joy, because it's almost like anything else in life. We have to practice to get good at it. You can think of a lot of examples of things that we have to practice to get good at. When we're kids, reading, then writing, coloring within the lines, learning sports, learning how to use our bodies. And as we get older, learning a new job, we got to practice and we get better. Practicing joy, I think, is something that Advent invites us into, but we also need to know how to do it, because I can practice joy maybe in counterproductive ways if I'm just barking up the wrong tree. And how many of you have done that? We're trying to practice losing weight or getting in shape for the new year. Sometimes we bark up the wrong tree, pick something that's not going to work for us. But I pray that today we can experience and we can practice joy together in ways that will truly be meaningful for us. And I want to start not with Philippians quite yet, but I want to look at the passage that we read together for our call to worship this morning, Mary's words from Luke chapter 1, known as the Magnificat, but this beautiful song, this beautiful poem that Mary, the mother of Jesus, gives us in Scripture. We call it a song. It says Mary said it. I don't know. It's a poem. It's been set to music in different ways. But she, well, she has a unique role in the story of Advent and Christmas, does she not? Mary's has the Son of God, the Savior of the universe, growing inside of her body. What an odd, joyful, confusing, unbelievable experience that must be. And she says at the beginning of her words, her song, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." You see the word joy in the word rejoice, right? My spirit rejoices. My spirit experiences joy in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Why is she overjoyed? For God has been mindful, has had in his mind something to do with me. He's thought about me. That's what it means to be mindful, to think about somebody else, right? Somebody to be thoughtful for you is to be mindful of your ways. For God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Mindful of the fact that she is humble. Mindful of the fact that, what? Whatever the opposite of humble is, she's not arrogant, she's not proud, she's not boastful. God has been mindful of her humble state. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. So yes, she rejoices. And that's kind of it about Mary in this poem. When she thinks about joy in the context of this story, in the context of her life, in her own life, it is joy enough that God is mindful of her. It is joy enough for her that God is mindful of her. How is it for us to think about God thinking of us? Out of all the billions of people on this planet right now, the fact that God would think of you, to be mindful of you, is that a joy? That he knows your name? Put aside the fact that he knows everything about you, your innermost thoughts, everything. We get a little weirded out by the secrets thing, right? But God knows each one of us and is mindful of us and is mindful of our state. Whatever state we are in, hers is humble. And I think for each of us, in our own way, we are in our own humble state. God brings joy by being mindful of us. It's not for all the incredible things that he gave me, that it was a beautiful day, that I found a lottery ticket that was a winner on the ground on the way to work today. It's just God was mindful of me. My spirit rejoices. Then the rest of her story, the rest of her song, extends far beyond herself into the world, to the ends of the earth. Starting in verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. That gives me joy. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. There's the contrast with the humility. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. I rejoice because God has been mindful of his humble servant, me. But look at what God is doing across this world that he loves and has created. Look at what God is doing with the whole very order of the world. Look at how he casts aside the proud and gives grace to the humble. Look at the God who fills the hungry with good things, who looks upon those who hunger and thirst and fills them and sends the rich away empty, for they are already fed. For Mary, joy, yes, is that God is mindful of her, but that God is at work in every corner of this world, looking out for the hungry, looking out for the broken. For Mary, even though her experience, her circumstances are exceptional in every way, no other woman has received a visit from God saying, "You will bear my one and only son." Exceptional circumstances in every way. And yet she is not beholden to her circumstances. She is not a slave to her circumstances when it comes to joy. For her, the big picture of joy is about God redeeming the entire world to the ends of the earth and along the way being mindful of me, his humble servant. God has all these amazing and wonderful things to do, and I am excited to be a part of that and to see all that happen. And guess what? He sees me. He's mindful of me. He knows me. He looks at me. Big picture joy is not beholden to immediate circumstances. So with that, a little reflection on Mary, I want to go back now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And when I hear that verse, some days I'm like, yeah, right on. Let's rejoice. Let's get the party going. But some days I'm like, can I just rejoice on command? Have you ever been? Can you think of a moment in your life where if somebody had just walked up to you and said, rejoice, you would have been like, I don't know anybody that tall, but I just punched him. Now, that's in our worst moments, right? We don't want to punch people. But how many of you, when somebody says rejoice or smile, you're like, okay, thank you, but not today, not right now, not in this moment. Rejoicing on command is not an easy thing, and yet that's what Paul does. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice with an exclamation point. In Greek, they didn't have exclamation points, but still, emphasis, rejoice, do it. Joy, is it something that we can do on command? Often when we hear this in Scripture, and this expectation to be joyful on command, we think, I got to make myself be happy. I got to put on a smiley face and pretend. How many people hear those words and think, I got to pretend to be happy? Come on. You know you feel like you got to pretend to be happy. You come to church because if you don't pretend to be happy, what? You're going to get questions. People are going to be like, what's wrong? How you feeling? Man, I realized not feeling good last week that I hate not feeling good in public because people are always asking me how I'm feeling, and I'm like, just stop. I'm trying to figure it out here. I'm just trying, man. But I'm good now. I feel much, much better. Thanks for asking. Sometimes we feel like when we're commanded to rejoice, that we just got to pretend to be happy. Do you think pretending to be happy is the same thing as rejoicing? No. It's not the same thing. There's something different about it. What is it? So what's joy connected to? We got to keep reading. I'll say it again, rejoice. I'm sure the rest of it has something to do with this, right? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So according to those few verses, joy is connected in some significant way to gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. It is connected to anxiousness. Do not be anxious about anything. It's connected with prayer. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And it is connected to peace. The peace of God, which transcends all hearts, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of joy, the first thing I don't think about is gentleness, necessarily. I wouldn't think to put those two together. But that's what Paul does. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Somehow being gentle in this world, being gentle with the way the world comes about you, comes toward you, and the way you approach the world, being gentle is somehow unlocks your ability to be able to experience joy. Anxiousness, we know that anxiousness robs us of joy, right? When we're afraid and we just are all knotted up inside, it's really hard to feel that release, that experience of joy, because I just got so many, I can't enjoy this moment because I'm worried about the next moment and the thing that's got to happen next and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. The fact that joy is connected to prayer and presenting our requests to God specifically, is there joy in saying, I can't control what's going on today. I can't control what happens with my friend that I'm concerned about. I can't control all these prayers and burdens that I'm carrying in my heart, but I want to lay them before God. And in doing that, I can be free to experience some joy. And there's a peace. Peace and joy can come very, very close. An experience of peace can be an experience of joy. It's like peace turned up to 11. That's what joy is. So again, back to this idea of rejoicing on command. What if I'm not a very gentle person? What if I am anxious? And what if I struggle to pray? Anybody in those categories? You don't feel very gentle. Sometimes you feel like you're, I don't know, just taking up too much space in this world, not being very gentle or very delicate. I know we all can relate to the anxiety thing, feeling anxious about things. And I know even us superpower prayers can struggle to pray sometimes, right? How do I experience joy? I cannot read this passage, Philippians chapter 4, without thinking of one of the saints who I had so much joy to be able to get to know over a decade, Richard Sherman. You guys know Richard? Remember him? He talked about this passage with me. He loved the Bible. That's why he got to talk to me quite a bit. And the way that he looked at this passage and the way that he experienced joy in his life was unique and beautiful, because I would have never guessed, but he shared freely with me pretty early on in our relationship that he struggled with depression, right? Took medication for being depressed, and that it helped him out, and he rejoiced in his antidepressants at times because he needed them. He wasn't pretending to be happy. This was a man who experienced the difficulties of life and came through on the other side with joy. Real, true joy. And that's a model that I want to follow with my life, and that's a model that we can all follow with our lives. It's not about pretending to be happy. If you're depressed, get help. It's not about putting on a happy face. Get the help that you need. But there is joy available to us. Because pretending doesn't work. Pretending, just putting a smile on, doesn't work. Or it works for a day. Might work. It might get us through a day, right? It might get us through a moment. How do we increase our joy? We increase our joy through a method that I learned from the critically acclaimed 90s film, The Waterboy. Very critically acclaimed. Adam Sandler, Henry Winkler, Yeah, everybody knows Henry Winkler, no matter what age, right? The Fonz, as an incompetent small school football coach, trying to figure out how to unlock Adam Sandler's super tackling power, because somehow in this film, Adam Sandler is a water boy who happens to be the best linebacker in the country, but only if you're able to unlock the rage within him. And so his coach, the coach of the SCLSU, South Central Louisiana State University, Mud Dogs, because that's a great mascot and we should all remember the Mud Dogs, he tells the water boy to visualize and attack. Pretend that those people on the other team are all the people that have hurt you and talked bad about you throughout the years. And of course, this is great fodder for comedy. Again, critically acclaimed film. I am joking about that, by the way. It will make you laugh. Visualize and attack. And the only way he can attack, the only way he can tackle, the only way he can be a good linebacker, and not just a good linebacker, but a great linebacker, is to visualize all the people that have hurt him. But what can we do when it comes to joy? We can visualize and attack joy in our lives. That's what we're talking about, practice. We're talking about practicing joy. Because in verses 8 through 9, and this is something I learned from Richard, we got to visualize the practices, the virtues, and the things that will lead to joy. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is where joy will come from. Maybe it's a practice that you do every day. At the end of the day, you think back to all the most true and noble and right, pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy things that you experienced or saw. Maybe it's just you need to reimagine your life in the morning, thinking about the day coming ahead. How can I live into this life in a way that is more true, that is more noble, that is more right, that is more pure, that is more lovely and admirable? We're going to encounter things every day that are false, are we not? We've probably all encountered some lies already today. We're going to encounter things that are not noble. We're going to encounter things that are wrong, that are impure, that are unlovely, that are unadmirable? Not disadmirable. Yeah, unadmirable, right? Yes. We're going to encounter things along this whole spectrum. And we don't just ignore the bad things. I'm not advocating for ignoring the bad things. But we need to visualize the good. Hold it in our minds. Meditate on it. Mull it over in our hearts. Day in and day out, make it a practice to think about the true and the noble and the right and the pure and the lovely and the admirable. And yes, sometimes that means we got to tune out the bad stuff. We just need to take a moment and remember that there is good in this world. We have to take a moment and remember that there is truth in this world. We have to take a moment and remember that there are admirable people around us, to notice them, to acknowledge them, to experience it. And that sort of visualization, that can lead us to joy. That can lead us to joy. And that joy will lead us to joining God's work in making these virtues a reality. When we are celebrating and rejoicing in the truth and in the pure and in the lovely and the noble, we will become people who are filled with joy and who are living virtuous, truthful, and noble lives. That is how we live joy. And just to come full circle to Mary's song and Mary's words, being mindful that joy isn't only personal, but communal. We may all go through seasons in life where our life circumstances don't lend themselves to us experiencing a whole lot of joy. Or certainly not a lot of happiness, right? Things can just be hard. You can have a season, months, maybe even years, where it's really hard to rejoice. in your personal circumstances. But maybe there's something else. The hungry being fed. The scattering of the proud. These communal practices, these communal experiences of joy that Mary gives to us in her song. Maybe those are the things we need to cling to in certain moments. The fact that God is faithful to my people. The fact that God is helpful to his servant Israel and is merciful. That he lifts up the humble. And he's mindful of you. And he's mindful of you, and he's mindful of you. He's mindful of you, every single one of you. He's mindful of. He holds in his mind and in his heart you. Let's visualize the joy that could be in our lives today. Meditate on the true and the good and the noble and the praiseworthy and the excellent. Because whatever our life circumstances are, there is joy to be had. It's not about pretending. It's about visualizing and attacking. And I hope you see the difference. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the call to practice joy. We're thankful for the days, the seasons where all we have to do is open our hands to receive joy. And it's a gift that just comes. Give us more of those days, Lord Jesus. But in those seasons where joy is hard fought, give us the resilience to visualize, to meditate, to think on the good and the right and the true and the pure and the excellent and the praiseworthy. And may those things bring joy to our hearts. May we be reminded through this practice that you have not abandoned this world. Though there is great pain and hurt, you are active and alive and well. And you have not given up on us. And we ought not give up on this world either. Thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, for this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.